Praise the Lord, everybody. Praise the Lord. Isn't God great? Even with masks on. Amen. You know, Moses had a mask one time. But when he went before the presence of God, he removed it. I'm not suggesting anything here. I'm just recognizing that this is the day in which we live. And we all know, I had a nuclear stress test done this week. And I was on the treadmill. And the one guy was checking my blood pressure. The lady was inserting some fluid into my heart, or my arm that was going to my heart. I'm sure many of you have had one of these done. And they started talking about getting the vaccine. And the girl said, well, if I die from it, I'm suing them. And I'm walking along and I said, well, you know, the last statistic I read, 10 out of 10 people die. And he said, technician says, well, you're not going to make a very good promotion director for a product. And I said, for my line of business, this is it. I said, you know, you don't have to be old to die. You don't have to be sick to die. You just have to be ready to die. And I thank God that by God's grace, we have already died out to sin and that we're living a new life in Christ who has blessed us unbelievably. Can anybody say amen? Amen. Praise God. Always good to be at Apostolic Faith Church, to be with Brother and Sister Schumacher. Amen. And their tanned faces. I'm not a little bit envious. But I'm thankful to be here. I was looking forward to last week. As a matter of fact, what I felt that I was to preach, and I felt it very strongly, I was really disappointed about the snow. And then Brother Portman, during the day last week, said, well, could you come back next Sunday if it's possible? And I said, I think I can do that, but only in the morning. And you know what? That message never left. That tells me that there's someone or many of us in here today that need, not because I'm preaching, but they need the word and the message of God that God has for this congregation today, or for you individually. Amen. If you have your Bibles today, I'd like for you to turn to three sets of scripture. You're going to think, well, how in the world do all three of these come together? But I hope to show you that. The first one is found in the oldest book of the Bible, the book of Job. And it's in the 14th chapter of Job. And then the second scripture I'd like to read is in the prophet Hosea. Hosea, it's in the second chapter of Hosea. And then the third one is in the New Testament, very familiar scripture, I'm sure, to many. It's found in 1 John in the second chapter. Praise God. Job, in chapter 14 and verse 1, he says, man that is born of a woman. Now, I don't think that he's just talking about the male gender here. How many of you here today were born of a woman? Huh? I didn't see some hands, so I'm wondering. I only know of one virgin birth. And even he was born of a woman. But it says, man that is born of a woman is a few days. Ooh. And full of trouble. The prophet Hosea in the second chapter. You got to understand, Hosea married a very promiscuous woman, very unfaithful woman. We'll talk about that a little bit here, but in his prophecy, God speaks through Hosea in the second chapter in verse 14. It says, "But then I will win her back once again. I will lead her out into the desert and speak tenderly to her there. I will return her vineyards to her transform. I will return her vineyards to her and transform the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope. She will give herself to me there as she did long ago when she was young, when I freed her from her captivity in Egypt." John the Revelator, in writing his first epistle, general epistle, he says in chapter 2 and verse 15, "Love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. If any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life, is not of the Father, but is of the world. And the world passeth away, and the lust thereof. But he that doeth the will of God abideth forever." In your hearing this morning, I want to preach to you today or teach to you today on overcoming the valley of trouble. Overcoming the valley of trouble. Can you put your Bibles down? Could you lift up your hands? I'm going to ask your pastor if he'll pray today. Brother Schumacher. And everybody said in Jesus' name. All right, why don't you go on ahead and clap your hands to the Lord. Hallelujah. Somebody say hallelujah. The highest praise. Amen. You may be seated. I believe that all of us understand that ever since the fall of Adam in the Garden of Eden, all of mankind has sinned and ever since has continued to reproduce sinners. Every one of us were physically born with a sinful nature. Every one of us has the propensity for corruption. In every one of us lies a potential desire for wrong. Job rightly declared it. We are all full of trouble. In this flesh dwelleth no good thing. I don't believe that there is an individual in this room that could honestly stand and say that you have never wrestled with this trouble aspect in your life. The Apostle Paul put it straight in Romans 3:23. He said, "For all have sinned. All fall short of God's glorious standard." My experience has been that when I was a youngster, Our family attended a denominational UPC church that is a United Presbyterian church. And there I was told, just to do good, I would go to heaven. And that seemed very promising and encouraging to me. But I had a real personal problem with that statement. I was never good. I was always getting into trouble. Can I get a witness? And why was I always getting into trouble? Because I was full of it. I believe all of us here can relate. We can relate as the Apostle Paul describes this universal human dilemma in Romans chapter 7. He says, I don't understand myself at all, for I really want to do what is right, but I don't do it. Instead, I do the very thing I hate. I know perfectly well that what I'm doing is wrong, and my bad conscience shows that I agree that the law is good. But I can't help myself because it is sin inside me that makes me do these evil things. I know I am rotten through and through so far as my old sinful nature is concerned. No matter which way I turn, I can't make myself do right. I want to, but I can't. When I want to do good, I don't. And when I try not to do wrong, I do it anyway. But if I'm doing what I don't want to do, and I'm not really the one doing it, the sin within me is doing it. It seems to be a fact of life that when I want to do what is right, I inevitably do what is wrong. I love God's law with all my heart, but there is another law at work within me. This is at war, that is at war with my mind. This law wins the fight and makes me a slave to the sin that is still within me. Oh, what miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin? Brothers and sisters, that universal question for mankind demands an answer. And the Apostle Paul gave it. Church, I'm not here this morning to make an excuse for our human dilemma. I'm here this morning to give us the answer of how you and I can overcome the valley of trouble. Somebody say amen. In the Old Testament, we read about how God brought his people out of bondage from the land of Egypt. Sang about it this morning. Through the power of his miraculous wonders. His people were brought out without one arrow shot or one spear thrown. God brought them out. And it was no more than a two-week march. Isn't that what you said? Just a few short ways to the promised land, to the land of promise, the very land that God, everybody say God, had promised for them to conquer. But, and that's one thing, even in the message in tongues this morning, yes, God brought them through the sea, and he will bring us through. But that doesn't mean it's just free sailing on the other side. Because of their unbelief, because they did not trust God's word, and because 10 of the 12 spies that Moses sent forth had their eyes fixed on the problems they had encountered in the land, rather than on the God who promised them the land. The very one who could bring victory over their problems. Brothers and sisters, God is always the answer. He is always the right solution. The people literally talked themselves out of obeying God's will for their lives. I'm sure that's never happened in your life. Remember, these were the very ones that witnessed an entire sea dry up before their eyes. And then walk through that sea on dry ground. But now it was time for them to take yet another step of faith. But because of the perceived giants that they witnessed in the land, 10 of the 12 spies convinced the people and themselves that they were not able to take the land. They were not able to do what God had told them to do. Their fear, heard about that this morning, outweighed what God had promised them. And in that one untrusting decision, they were stating that their God was not able to deliver them. In that one faithless decision, it cost them an entire generation. It cost the children of Israel 40 years. 40 years of meaningless frustration. It caused them to aimlessly wander in the wilderness. Church, the point that I'm trying to make here is obvious. You and I, who are promised to walk on streets of gold. Anybody holding on to that promise? You and I that are promised to walk on streets of gold in God's heavenly promised land need to believe God. We need to trust and obey our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ of what God has promised to you and I. Because what He has promised is obtainable through Him. After those 40 years, it was now time for them to cross over the Jordan River and finally conquer their promised land. And once again, with the waters rolled back, God's people crossed on dry ground. Once again, spies had been sent out to Jericho. But this time, the testimony that these men returned with was very different than that before. Would you please notice the last time they sent out 12 and only 2 had a good report out of the 12. This time, Joshua sends out only 2. And their testimony was, we can take the city. God gave Joshua specific instructions of how to obtain victory. All that God's people needed to do was simply obey God's word. And victory was promised. And not only was it promised, victory they had. Unbelievable victory. As the walls of the city fell flat. But amongst those that marched around Jericho that day, unfortunately, there was one soldier by the name of Achan. I really don't believe that Achan set out that day determined to disobey God's word. I personally believe, you can take this or leave it, he, like thousands of others, was astounded as God gave them complete and absolute victory. I've noticed in my walk with God that after the very high times of God, there's usually a trial waiting for me not too many days soon. And it's how we win that one that really makes the big difference about how good we're feeling. Am I making sense to you today? God told Joshua that nothing was to be taken from the city, but seemingly Achan couldn't help himself. So as the miraculous victory over Jericho was being celebrated, the next targeted city was but a small town called Ai. So small that Joshua didn't even think that they even needed the whole army of soldiers to fight. But it did not fare well. They were driven back, and over 30 of God's soldiers were killed. And now for the first time, since leaving Egypt, Israel turned her back on her enemies and ran. They retreated. And Joshua hit the floor, crying out to God for an answer of why. Have you ever prayed that question, why? I think the last time I was here, I preached on why me. But the Lord said to Joshua in Joshua 7 and 10, get up. I'm reading out of the New Living Translation. Get up. Why are you lying on your face like this? I want you to listen very carefully. Look at this, church. God said, verse 11, Israel has sinned and broken my covenant. They have stolen the things that I commanded to be set apart for me. And they have not only stolen them, they have also lied about it and hidden the things among their belongings. That is why the Israelites are running from their enemies in defeat. For now, Israel has been set apart for destruction. Ooh. I will not remain with you any longer unless you destroy the things among you that were set apart for destruction. Get up. Command the people to purify themselves in preparation for tomorrow. For this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Hidden among you, O Israel, are things set apart for the Lord. You will never defeat your enemies until you remove these things. Notice that through this whole dialogue, please listen, God says they sinned. Israel sinned. He places all of the guilt of wrongdoing on the entire nation as Israel as a whole, even though it was but one man who caused the trouble. Church, please understand, our troubles are never just our troubles. They can become everyone's trouble if we're not careful. Well, you're getting quiet today. It can become everybody's trouble if we are not willing to overcome them. Achan was exposed by God as the one who needed to confess. And Achan confessed. In verse 21 of chapter 7, he says, when I saw among the spoils a godly Babylonish garment and 200 shekels of silver and a wedge of gold of 50 shekels weight, then I coveted them and took them. And behold, they are hid in the earth in the midst of my tent and the silver under it. Achan saw. He coveted. He must have took time even to weigh how much he had. He took and he hid. Doesn't that sound familiar? Doesn't that sound familiar in Scripture? Because John, the beloved apostle, admonishes all of us that this same troublesome spirit is still loose in our world right now. John says, love not the world, neither the things that are in the world. For all the things that are in the world, if any man love the world, the love of the Father is not in him. Amen. Achan's action brought trouble to the entire nation of Israel. And Joshua in verse 25, he says to Achan, why have you brought trouble on us? The Lord will now bring trouble on you. And all the Israelites stoned Achan and his family and burned their bodies. They piled a great heap of stones over Achan, which remains to this day. That is why the place has been called what? What church? I don't know. I assume it's up there. What is it called? The Valley of Achor, which is really translated the Valley of Trouble. Church, I'm convinced that all of us at times, without thinking, but perhaps reacting to some feeling, some compulsion, some lust, has brought trouble upon ourselves and our entire family. This Valley of Trouble speaks of a depressed place, low in morale, lacking in communication, and low in attitude and stature. Brothers and sisters, how many times do we wish we had never allowed certain words to come out of our mouths? Can I get a witness? Huh? They cause hurt or distrust, or that we did something stupid. Has anybody besides me ever done anything stupid? Thank you for admitting it. Some of you just did not tell the truth. Or we bought something out of pure compulsion, sometimes with four paws. I just recently bought a new puppy who just tore our coat rack off the wall. And it brought trouble to our relationships with our family. Not that incident, but our troubles can do that. Church, if we're not careful, it can bring harm to our finances and trouble our entire homes. Church, our trouble can allow, as we go through a valley of trouble, to become our own spiritual graveyard. It can destroy our relationships. It can destroy our credibility. It can destroy the very future of our relationships with our spouse and our children, and it can destroy our witness altogether. We all need to learn how to be an overcomer of this valley of trouble. I want us to consider today the prophet Hosea. He was instructed by God, by the way, to marry this promiscuous woman who was a prostitute. To most of us, that makes no sense at all, that God would have a man, a prophet, to marry a woman such as that. Does that make sense to you? But God was making a distinct, a very dramatic illustration of Israel's adulterous condition before him. God made an appeal through Hosea. God spoke of winning Israel back to him. That's why the text verse says, "But then I will win her back once again. I will lead her out into the desert and speak tenderly to her there." To be honest, church, I can't think of a lot of things to try to woo a relationship. I can think of a lot of things to try to woo a relationship back, but taking them to a desert is not one of them. No wonder God's word declares that his ways are not ours. God knows what he is doing and for what purpose he is doing it. He says, "I will return her vineyards to her," and look at this, church, he said, "and transform the" what? "The valley of trouble into a gateway of hope." She will give herself to me there as she did long ago when she was young, when I freed her from the captivity in Egypt. In this prophecy, the Lord is referring back, amen, to the very spot where judgment fell upon Achan. After that very first victory of entering into the promised land, God was reaching out to his beloved there in the desert, and they had to overcome their own selves. They had to overcome doing things their own way and start listening and obeying the word of the Lord. They needed to learn to trust and obey the word of their God. My friends, those are very good ideas for each and every one of us. We all need to learn. We all need to trust. We all need indeed to obey God's word. Church, every one of us here this morning must learn this same lesson if we're going to overcome our own valley of troubles. What is so interesting, church, about this is when our Lord Jesus was immersed in that same Jordan River that all of Israel had come through hundreds of years before, that all of Israel passed through going into the promised land, Jesus was immersed in fulfilling all righteousness. And it tells us in Luke 4, it says, then Jesus, full of the Holy Spirit, left the Jordan River. He was led by the Spirit to go out into the wilderness, which is the desert, where the devil tempted him for 40 days. He ate nothing all the time and was very hungry. Brothers and sisters, listen to me. What is incredible is that the mount of temptation in Israel, where our Lord was tempted by the devil, stands just outside of Jericho. I've seen this mountain with my own eyes. Just outside of the city of Jericho is the very place where the Valley of Achor is found, which is the very same Valley of Trouble in Achan's day. Amazing. What Israel couldn't do in their first time, here comes our Lord. Here comes our Lord. And not only is he immersed for fulfill all righteousness, but now he goes out into that desert and praise God, he is conquering, he is overcoming once and for all the valley of trouble for every one of us. What no human being could ever do before, Jesus did. For 40 days and 40 nights, our Lord fasted and prayed. We all know this. And the enemy of our souls, the devil himself, tempted our Savior. The devil's taunts were all precipitated by trying to make Jesus doubt who he is. And that's exactly what the enemy tries to do to you and I, to make you doubt. You wouldn't have these feelings. You wouldn't have these thoughts. You wouldn't have indeed those words if you really love God. Oh, my friend, I want you to know there is a victory for each and every one of us. Amen. Through our Lord Jesus Christ. The devil said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, command this stone that it be made bread. This test was based upon the lust of the flesh. He was hungry. And the devil, taking him up into a high mountain, showed unto him all the kingdoms of the world in a moment of time. And the devil said unto him, all this power, what a liar. All this power will I give thee, and the glory of them, for that is delivered unto me, and to whomsoever I will, I give it. If thou therefore wilt worship me, all shall be thine. This was a test based upon the lust of the eyes as he looked at all of the panorama. And he brought him to Jerusalem and set him on a pinnacle of the temple and said unto him, if thou be the Son of God, cast thyself down from hence, for it is written, he shall give his angels. If you really are the Son of God, he is going to give you angels charge over thee to keep thee, and in their hands they shall bear thee up, lest at any time thou dash thy foot against a stone. The test was based upon the pride of life, but our Lord's overcoming response, church, to each and every one of these troublesome temptations was the same response that you and I here in this very room today should and can use in overcoming our own valley of trouble. Jesus said, it is written! Right then and there, at the very beginning of Christ's ministry, the Word that became flesh overcame this valley of trouble. Overcoming where Israel centuries before had failed, this second time, however, Jesus overcame it. And he did so by using and obeying the very word of which he was. verse 15 of Hosea, he said, I will return her vineyards, her fruit to her, and transform the valley of trouble into a gateway of hope. We've passed through some very troublous times in these last 12 months. You've lost people from this assembly. Some have gained their eternal reward. But that hasn't diminished our hope. Our hope is built on nothing less than Jesus Christ and his righteousness. All other ground is sinking sand. I'm telling you, folks, we don't dare play around with the trouble. We don't dare allow the enemy to get us back into that valley, because I'm telling you, that valley has already been defeated. You may go through the valley, the shadow of death, but David said, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Stand with me, church. You and I know and understand this morning that Jesus is our only hope. He and he alone is the hope of the world. And this same hope is how you and I can overcome our own troublesome valley in each of our own lives. Church, can I just put it this way? Would you get real? Just get real. Don't try to put on a mask. I'm not talking about the physical one you're wearing. Be who you are. And if you're in that valley of trouble in your own life right now, admit it. Confess it to God. Because I guarantee you, he has got the victory already won. The enemy will keep you there as long as you allow yourself to be kept. But I'll tell you, the only failures are those that refuse to get back up and to go on. Because a valley is just that. It's a place to go through. David said this. In Psalm 119, he said, wherewith shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed. Say it with me. By taking heed thereto, according to thy word. With my whole heart have I sought thee. Oh, let me not wander from thy commandments. Thy word have I hid in mine heart, that I might not sin against thee. Blessed art thou, O Lord. Teach me thy statutes. Church, we overcome and are destined to become overcomers. Did you hear me? We are destined to become overcomers. John the Revelator wrote in Revelation 12, and I heard a loud voice saying in heaven, now is come salvation and strength and the kingdom of our God and the power of his Christ. And the accuser of our brethren is cast down, which accused them before our God day and night. And they overcame him. And they overcame him by the blood of the Lamb and by the word of their testimony. And they loved not their lives even unto the death. Jesus has made a way for us. He is our ever-present help in the time of trouble. There is no weapon formed against us that shall prosper. He is our victory. When And Job made his declaration concerning the weakness of mankind. And he said, man that is born of a woman is a few days and full of trouble. In verse 4, he wrote, who can create purity in one born impure? And Job ignorantly wrote, not one. Yet the Apostle Paul wrote, oh, what a miserable person I am. Who will free me from this life that is dominated by sin? Thank God! The answer is in Jesus Christ, our Lord. There's only one way to overcome, church. And that is by going through the trouble solver, gaining victory through the power of our Lord Jesus Christ, who lives forevermore. Let his power rule and reign in your life. Let his power overcome that fullness of trouble that would bother you. Let his word overwhelm you by your obedience to it. He has overcome, and so will you and I. By and through him, he has overcome the valley of trouble for us all. Hallelujah. Can somebody say hallelujah? If you need to get out of that valley right now, come on up here. Lift up holy hands unto the Lord. Amen. And let your victor lead you through what you think that there is no way to get out of. I don't care what habit it is. I don't care what is trying to hold you down. I don't care how bad you think the enemy has tried to lie to you and tell you that you'll never be any different. He has been a liar from day one, and he continues to be. But I proclaim in this house today, there is victory for everybody. There is victory for everybody. It doesn't matter what it is. If it's marriage problems, Jesus is the victor. If it's trouble in your finances, Jesus is the victor. If it's trouble in your own health, Jesus is the victory. We can be overcomers, overcomers, overcomers of the valley. Sharonda kashakas. Hallelujah. Lift up your hands and close your eyes. Get alone with God right now, will you? Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Be honest with him. Be honest with him. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, God. In Jesus' name. Hallelujah. Oh, yes, God. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Yes, God. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. He wants you to be free. He wants you to be free. Hallelujah. If you're not free today, if you're bound by something, lift up your hands right now and let him bring you through. Overcome the valley because it has already been overcome. Hallelujah, Jesus. Hallelujah, Jesus, overcome the world. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Oh, yes. Sing it with all your heart if you're not praying. Yes, God. You wear the victory's crown.
Overcome the world.
If you have not received the Holy Ghost, lift up your hands. Ask God to forgive you of your sins. And you'll get the victory power. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Overcome the world. Every high thing. Yes, yes, yes. Every high thing.